to just wait 1 minute. Carlos gets past it. All right, now if we can continue on this question of Chombay and his relationship with the Union Minière. But I wanted to go from that to Chombay's and Katanga's representation, if you want to call it that, in the United States. Did you have contact with Senator Dodd in this connection, and what was your impression there?
Yes, I practically lived with Senator Dodd at one juncture with him. He was the center of opposition to our treatment of Chombay. He was aided and abetted by a journalist who was very famous at that time. I'm afraid I can't recall his name just at the moment. He was planting stories in the press and furnishing information to him. He was in the employ of Chombay, as I understood it, to Dodd. And the basic point that I was trying to get across to Dodd, and also to Senator George, I think that was, he was chairman of the Armed Forces Committee, very powerful senator. I visited Dodd often in his home and took him to meals at my club and attempted to convince him that we were not anti-Chombay, that we didn't intend to eliminate Chombay, that we were still trying to get agreement between Chombay and Adula, and that we were attempting to influence Union Minière in this direction, but that the president had no desire whatsoever to eliminate Chombay from the scene, or that we were prejudiced against him. Dodd always talked quite reasonably, and I think in the end he was helpful. And I flew down to Georgia to meet with the senator, and he had been greatly influenced by missionaries from Georgia who had gotten a favorable attitude toward Chombay and were telling him that we were attempting to eliminate Chombay. And I tried to convince him that we were not. And then I didn't get to see him, but I called Nixon, who was in California, and made the same spiel to him. And just after this, I received a call in the department from President Kennedy, who was on a ship at sea in the Atlantic. And he asked me, because I'd done this at his particular request, how I thought I'd come out in my conversation. And I told him I thought we'd done well with Dodd and with the senator. And he said, well, what about Nixon? And I said, Nixon gave no indication. I said, I can't say that he said he would support us, but he gave no indication that he was against our policy or that he would do anything about it. And then the next day there appeared in the press a sharp criticism by Nixon against our policy. Nixon had completely deceived me. I assume that he didn't want to interfere with the impact of his statement, which he had made. And this was a little embarrassing for me vis-a-vis Kennedy. I had assured that Nixon wouldn't give us any trouble.
What was Nixon's attitude? Was he?
It's the usual attitude that we were anti-Chombay, mm-hmm. that we were too influenced by Adula, that we were anti-colonial, and weren't giving Chombay, who had really gotten a lot of people on his side, because he's such an attractive fellow, and he made a very good impression to anyone who visited him in Elizabethville. That was the basic.
Yes. Yes, I wanted to ask you a personal question in that respect, because perhaps as a result of your contacts with Senator Dodd and so forth, in some of the literature, there's suggestions that you were the element in Washington that was more favorable to Chombe and Katanga than the White House was.
Well, I can understand that, because Aduo, during my period, was not cooperative. Mm-hmm. And from my point of view, Chombe was more cooperative than Aduo. And although I didn't agree with the attitude of the Union Minière, I felt that we needed Union Minière, and that we must not attack them publicly nor attempt to isolate them and drive them in a corner, but to try to convince them that they should exert an influence on Chombe to come back to the Congo.
I wanted, in this connection, to return now to the UN side and Entente. You indicated earlier that there was cooperation between the American side and your office in particular and Entente in developing the plan, which ultimately was a successful plan in bringing an end to the secession. What was your impression of Entente, and how did that function, that cooperation?
From my point of view, it functioned extremely well. I met with Entente several times in New York, and we were trying to achieve the same objectives. And insofar as he agreed to the Entente plan, that was our policy. I don't recall any great difficulty in getting final agreement on the plan. Because you still had these extremists. People considered that Soapy Williams was the extremist on the side of favoring the new state against colonial intervention. And of course, the Belgian desk was the one supporting the Belgian interests and Union Minière.
At times in Leopoldville, the Western representatives, including the United States, were very distrustful of the UN representatives there. There was a man who I believe had left by the time you were undersecretary, named Dayal, who was an Indian. Did you find that reflection of that in Washington, that is, this distrust of the Secretary General's representatives in Leopoldville?
Well, there were lots of cross currents of distrust like this, because here this was being administered mainly by Indians who were naturally anti-colonial. They only recently emerged colony, and they wouldn't be likely to have a very balanced viewpoint about the Union Minière and the Belgian interest in the Congo. Nor were we. We were always very critical of the attitude of the Union Minière, but we did not wish to go public with that. And one rather embarrassing incident occurred. Our public affairs assistant secretary made a speech sharply criticizing the Union Minière at a very critical juncture. He'd done this without getting approval of the department at a very critical time in my negotiations with the Union Minière. And I was having a television appearance the next day, and I was instructed by higher authority to make very clear that this was not with the approval of the department. Mm-hmm. And this created a little bad feeling between me and that individual, which has fortunately been overcome over the years.
Now, Adlai Stevenson was the permanent representative in New York at this point, and I wondered, did he play a particular role that you are aware of, or what was the relationship between New York and Washington at this time?
Well, I've always felt that I was very close to Adlai. I had helped support him when he was running for the presidency, and he was a good friend, used to visit us in our farm in Virginia. I don't recall that Adlai took much of a substantive position, and I don't recall, I mean, on particular matters. I think he approved of the department's position as being a suitable one, which was basically to create the Sultan plan.
Right. Right. No, I think that he was more substantively involved in other issues, particularly eventually the Vietnam issue, which was quite separate, but also involved U Thant very much.
I found U Thant very cooperative. He didn't show me the reaction that he showed to Holland against my protesting against the UN war.
One really final question, and that is, again, with regard to the UN operation. What was the, one might call, the overall assessment, at least that you were aware of in Washington, of how the UN was functioning in the Congo? This was at a time, as you well know, when the Soviets had withdrawn their recognition of the Secretary General. The Soviets were totally negative on the United Nations operation there. The U.S. had been somewhat negative earlier, but I'm thinking now about the totality, so to speak. What was the overall impression at high levels in Washington of what the U.N. was doing?
Well, the logistics of the military operation, I think, were pretty much in our hands.
Right.
And I've already said that the main concern we had was the impatience of the Indian generals and our fear that they would take matters into their own hands and start hostilities, which would broaden. I think we identified individuals whom we thought were too strongly anti-colonial in their attitude, which would have made it very difficult to conduct the negotiation involving Mounir and Bashambe and Adula. But these were individuals. I think on the whole, we had no serious objection. I didn't personally. I happened to be in Leopoldville for quite a while, to some extent waiting for the appropriate time to visit Chambé, and then trying to see Adula when he didn't want to see me. And I was with the UN people a great deal, and some of them I was very, very impressed with. What is the name of the one who later became head of the African Unity Movement? And it's very outstanding. He's from Ghana.
I don't have his name right here. I've forgotten that. But yes, he did, as a matter of fact.
He studied in England, and I kept up a friendship with him over the years, seeing him frequently. I admired him very much. He was the key man, as I recall. I don't know why I can't remember his name.
I know who you mean, and I have the name here someplace. He actually was not the overall commander, but he was commander of one of the battalions in the UN peacekeeping forces.
No, this is a civilian.
Oh, a civilian.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Ah, yes. Then he was the one who worked with Gardner. Then Gardner. You mean maybe in Gardner? Gardner.
Oh,
was
Gardner.
Yes, he was from Ghana.
He's the one.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
But as long as Gardner was there, for example, I had great confidence in him.
Uh huh.
And it wouldn't have troubled me that he had subordinates who were more anti-colonial, say, than he.
Yes, yes. Yes, well, there was a point after Lumumba's death when Ghana actually withdrew its forces from the peacekeeping forces because of that crisis, and some other African countries did too. But Gardner was a UN secretariat person.
But for instance, the strategy that we ended up with was to hold things as they were and don't let them get any worse and lead to war and play for the breaks. This, if I had stated, could have stated what my personal strategy was, it was that. Mm-hmm. And we accomplished that in the hostilities didn't get worse. And then the break came, and those Indian generals were clever enough to take advantage of it. It was all over within 24 hours.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And so, as I told you, we didn't criticize the Indian generals in the slightest since we had won. And all of us at that time felt that it represented the fulfillment of our objective
right.
in the Entente Plan.
You know that at that point, actually, at least in theory, the Secretary General himself was unaware that the Indian forces were going to move ahead and go straight to Jadotville. And
it all happened in hours.
It happened in hours, and
because
they took it advantage.
They were rioting with his troops.
And I think the British representative at that point made representations and said, "What are you doing? Why are these troops moving that way?"
We didn't. I don't think you'll find we criticized them. We would have. They lost, of course, but since they won, we were quite happy to bask in their victory.
One final question on the American side. There were several U.S. ambassadors in Leopoldville during the course of the crisis. I think Ed Gullion was probably the ambassador at this period when you were undersecretary, is that correct?
That's right.
And again, were there differences between him and the field and the State Department or the White House as to policy?
Well, Ed's a very close friend, and I have a high regard for him. I wouldn't criticize him. Chambé, of course, felt that Ed was against him, and Ed himself couldn't be terribly useful in negotiating with Chambé, which was one of the reasons I went out. And Ed, although naturally he perhaps considered this a little lack of confidence in himself for not being able to go to negotiate with Chambé, never gave that impression to me. I was staying with him, and he accepted my mission with good grace and helped me in every way he could.
And he had been sent there by the Kennedy administration, I believe.
Yes, he was a favorite of Kennedy's, and Kennedy personally had selected him.
For what was that then a very important post?
In many ways, the most important. That was the one place where we could have had a beginning of real war.
Now, final question, and this is a philosophical question. Looking back, do you think that anything could have been done differently? The outcome in the Congo can be viewed from different perspectives. Did it result in favorable aftermath in terms both of Africa, in terms of U.S. policy, in terms of the United Nations? Or do you think, having been so directly involved, that other things could have been better handled?
No, it was such a complex affair. The Congo is a very big country, and it's divided into areas which are quite independent of each other, really, and with poor communications. And you were dealing with the entrenched power of the Union Minière because they ran the plant, and they sold the copper. The frailties of the individuals concerned, and particularly Adula, I think. If you read Adula's history, there was nothing about his background that would lead you to conclude that he would be a suitable prime minister for the Congo. On the other hand, the man that we chose has not been a suitable. But the only thing you can say about Mobutu is that he held it together with a strong hand. And one of the great problems that we saw is that if you end up with a weak Congo, even though you have a momentary victory, you've got your man in, say Adula, and it's a weak country. that you haven't really solved anything, because the Soviets will be coming in from the north trying to take advantage of the weakness. And the advantage of Mobutu, with all of his disadvantages, was that he held this big country together with a stern hand over a difficult period.
Thank you very much. I think those are the questions. But I did want to ask, are there any other particular points that you feel are of importance that you would be willing to put on the record at this point?
Well, I really can't think of any specifically. We've covered it pretty well. And remember, it's a long time ago, and I haven't referred to any notes or anything in many years, so I may be overlooking something. I believe I've given you the broad picture as I saw it.
Fine. Thank you very much.
I had a very nice letter.